First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the show. My name is Bill Simmons. I am in mourning today because the Pats dynasty has been disgraced. It's terrible. Anyway, that's not going to stop us from bringing on my buddy Sal Iacono from Jimmy Kimmel Live. We're going to do the week two lines. He reads each game to me. I try to guess the line. He has guessed the lines previously, and we'll see who does better. And it's actually a good way to figure out if the lines are skewed, if there's some sort of matchup that maybe Vegas is underestimated or whatever. Last week when we did this, we both thought the Jags-Titans line was way too high, and as it turned out, the Titans won. Sal, are you ready?
What's happening, Bill? I'm always ready for this.
Well, I'm in a sad mood today because of the Patriots' disgrace, so you're going to have to walk me through it.
Well, listen, I don't blame him. You got a three-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, the most phenomenal wide receiver athlete that ever lived, and the genius coach. You need that extra edge. You can't just take chances and go in there and play like everyone else.
Yeah, especially going against a quarterback who's already hurt and who can't throw more than 20 yards downfield. And we beat them twice last year, and we're going to beat them again. I just don't get it. I just want to know why. Why? Why did we do it?
Well, I don't know why, but it certainly explains now why Wes Welker was open 47 times last Sunday.
Now, at Jimmy's house last week, I had the Welker jersey on, and I gave our friend Brad a pseudo lap dance after the Welker touchdown. In retrospect, that might have gone too far. Did you feel like that changed the complexion of the day?
I think it did, but Brad could have used the lap dance. It had been a while. So.
Yeah, that's true. Fortunately, I got off of him in time. All right, let's look at the week two matchups. Last week, you edged me barely. By one win, so yeah,
it was close. This week, a good slate. We got Atlanta at Jacksonville.
Well, it looks like I was wrong about the Falcons. Although I'm not going to give up until this week because this is a nice matchup for them. The Jags, just a startling collapse last week. They gave up like 500 yards. I'm going to say Jacksonville by 7.5.
Ooh, I said 11, and it's actually 10.5.
Really?
I think it would have been lower if Jacksonville hadn't lost last week. It just, I don't know. I think it's a bad situation for Atlanta here.
Do we have any proof that Jacksonville is good?
No. I guess you have to assume their defense is maybe as tough as last year, but I don't believe in Joey Harrington. Like the Lions drafted a top receiver for him every year for 5 years, and he couldn't get it done. So.
Yeah, I tried to make the case for him in my NFL preview, and maybe there's no case to be made.
It might not happen. It may not happen for him.
Now, I think that line's too high. I don't think the Jags should be favored by more than 10 over anyone in the league, but that's just me.
All right. Cincy at Cleveland.
Cincy already trading their opening day starter.
Cleveland,
that may have been a record.
Yeah.
Cleveland, I mean. Not sold on the Cincy team, but I do think they win this week. Cincy by 6.
I said 6 also. It's 6.5. That seems about right. God, that Ravens, they turned the ball over 6 times, and they still could have won by 2 touchdowns. I don't get that game at all. But yeah, like
it was a weird one.
Cleveland giving away their starting quarterbacks. All right,
now, wait a second. We can officially condone a Cincy tease this week, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, they should be 2-0. This Cleveland team's looking like a 3-win team, and I don't think one will come this week.
If you tease the Bengals... And they lose in Cleveland, I would not be upset about that. I would still feel like I did the right thing. Okay.
Right. All right. Well, this might be another teaser game. Like Houston at Carolina.
Hard to say. You know, that Carolina game, I know they won and it was a convincing final score, but it was like in 3 plays, all of a sudden they were winning. But it's the Rams kind of collapsed, I thought. I'm going to say Carolina by 7.
Yeah, you get it. It's 6.5. I said 8.5. But, yeah, I don't know. I maybe stay away from this game. This would prove, if it hasn't been proven already, that the AFC is better than the NFC in every aspect.
Well, also, it looks like Houston might be good.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
And then the other thing is, as we've learned over the last few years, you never want to have Carolina in a tease ever.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mario Williams, more touchdowns than Reggie Bush. I don't hear anyone talking about that.
It's weird. Is that really a stat? I haven't heard that one.
This year, sure. San Francisco at St. Louis.
Hmm. Wow. Was not impressed by the Niners. And the Rams look like, yeah, anytime you lose your best lineman in week one, it's just a bad.
That's a rough one.
Yeah, it's a bad precedent.
I don't know if Steven Jackson's the number two overall fantasy pick if you did it this week. You know,
who would be the number two pick if we did it this week?
I like this guy, Wes Welker.
Come on.
I don't know.
It would be Alexander, I think.
Yeah, maybe it would be Alexander.
Does Adrian Peterson go in the top 15?
I think he's right around there. I think Randy Moss all of a sudden jumps up to there. I think maybe a die moves. I think he's going to be phenomenal the way he ran last week. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say a die would be 2A and Alexander would be 2B.
Mm-hmm.
But so what was this game again?
San Fran at St. Louis.
I'm going to say San Fran by 1.
Ooh. St. Louis by 3. I said St. Louis by 4, so I get that one.
I'm shocked. I don't see that the Rams team, the Rams and Buffalo looked like they were both had a giant fork in them after what happened
yeah.
last week.
Well, we should ask our friend Adam Carolla what he thinks. You know, he can only name 4 players on the Rams, but he's a big Rams fan. I
listened we'll
to his podcast. I heard him bashing me last week on the show.
I
Unbelievable.
Know. Well, you know,
the guy doesn't know his ass from his eyebrow, and here he is. Here he is berating me. I can't even get into it.
You know, his highlight of week one was at one point I went into the living room and sat down next to a big box of porn.
Uh-huh.
So I was looking through the DVDs, and it was all DVDs that were geared toward people who are fans of Buxom Ladies. And immediately I knew it was Corolla.
How many screens are there in Jimmy's house? 15, and then he's looking through a box of porn? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little shady. All right.
Okay, next game, Green Bay at the Giants.
Green Bay's looked pretty good. That was a nice win. I actually watched the replay of it, and this Giants team, yikes. I'm going to say Green Bay by 1, and that goes to 3 by game time.
Well, I think, yeah, you get it. It's a pick because of the quarterback situation.
Right.
I thought the Giants would still be favored by 3 with the hefty lefty calling signals.
So he's the first coach fired.
What's that?
He's the first coach fired. Probably.
Yeah, he would be. Yeah, he should have been the first one last year and the year before.
Although I think if Del Rio loses this week, he could move into the front of the pack.
Yeah, definitely. But now Coughlin might have the injury excuse, you know, with if Jacobs and Manning stay out for a long enough period of time.
That's true. Yeah.
All right, India, Tennessee. That's a good one.
That's a nice one.
It might be big screen.
In Tennessee likes to play this Colts team for some reason. I'm going to say Colts by 4.5. I'm going to say Vegas has no idea.
I nailed this one exactly. 7.5. It's that high.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to let anyone win money on the Colts without giving a touchdown.
So basically there's a Colts tax.
Right. Exactly.
That's interesting. Hey, yeah. Doesn't that feel like a 3-point game, or am I overthinking it?
I almost think if Tennessee didn't win last week, maybe they could take them by surprise or something. But and you know they did beat Indy. Was it the last game of the year last year? So maybe
yeah, but they didn't pick up on them. The precedent is that the Super Bowl champ looks awesome on week one,
and then goes on
and then never looks that good again for like 6 weeks.
That could be a good one. That could be a good one. Taking the points there.
I like the points in that one.
Buffalo at Pittsburgh.
Well, it looks like Pittsburgh's good, and I know they played in Cleveland, but I think I was not impressed by Baltimore or Cincy. I'm going to say Pittsburgh by 9.
Yeah, you got it. I said 8.5. It's 9.5 is the actual number. But Buffalo's season might be over, losing to Denver with Elam sprinting on the field with no time left to kick that field.
I watched that game on NFL Replay or whatever, which is an awesome show the way they do it this year because they cut in the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And the Broncos had 4 different points in that game that it should have been over.
Yeah.
Like even I didn't agree with the bomb call to Lee Evans with like 2.5 minutes left, but he was open by like 3 yards. Lossman just overthrew it.
Yeah.
And then they get a 3rd and 23. They get a slant play for 21 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they can't win that. What's going to be easy for them?
Here's my question, though. How does Buffalo not block that field goal knowing that the ball has to be snapped exactly when it was snapped?
I don't even know. Did they have their field goal defense team on there? I don't know. I think they thought they won the game already.
Yeah, you're right. Well, the one guy went flying by the ball and just missed it. But
yeah.
Anyway.
New Orleans at Tampa Bay.
Not sure what to make of either of these teams. I'm going to say New Orleans by 3.
Good call. I said exactly. I said 4.5, so you get that one.
Yeah, because people aren't sure about the Saints. They might have been the Saints and the Jets might be the come-down teams this year.
I got to tell you, I look at that Saints team, and I'm a Cowboys fan, and two of their starting linebackers are Scott Vegeta and Shanley, and these guys played on the practice squad for years. Like, could it just be that it was a magical year for the Saints, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
Well, it felt like they went like 13-3 last year, but they only went 10-6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And you look at it, everyone's like, "Oh, Marquise Colston's like, what did he had? Oh yeah, it's Marquise Colston. He only had 6 touchdowns, and he's from Hofstra. And it makes sense that he's dropping every pass in the third
game."
But
I agree.
All right, later afternoon games: Dallas at Miami.
Hey, why can't your team stop the long ball?
That's no matter who steps in and head coach, it just seems like that's always gonna. Roy Williams, I don't know if you can cut him from the team, but he trails every big play you look at, and it's just he's not a cover guy. It's terrible.
Yeah, I was gonna write that this week. I think he's the most overrated known defensive player. Like, there's only like the average fan only knows like 35 defensive players,
right?
And he's what, like, one of the safeties everybody thinks is good, and yet 20 times a season, he's running behind somebody on a 50-yard pass.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, he really should be a linebacker. If they can convert defensive ends to linebackers, that he should be a linebacker. He'd be the gunner-type player they want out of him. But otherwise, he's useless back there.
I'm going to say Dallas by 3, and I like the Cowboys.
You got that one. It's 3.5. I said 5.5, maybe because I'm biased. But no one on that Miami team scares me, right? I mean,
no.
If you look at it.
It looks like one of those games where Chambers will be open 10 times, but they'll only complete one of the 10 passes.
What do I know? I'm from New York. I root from the Cowboys. Unbelievable. He left the Super Bowl, Bill. That's where this story begins and ends. He loves his Rams. He left in the middle. He left at halftime of the Super Bowl. To me,
you're talking about Carolla.
Carolla, Adam Carolla.
Well, there was something on TV you had to go watch.
You had to go watch his box of porn. All right, Minnesota-Detroit. This is the one I screwed up the most.
Now, one of these teams might be good.
Yeah.
We just don't know yet. Minnesota, they scored 2 defensive touchdowns and scored on a 60-yard screen pass. And other than that, it doesn't seem like they made one play.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not
that. It's hard to get a gauge. They both played kind of crappy teams. So.
Right. Yeah. But Detroit did throw the ball. Like, we were impressed watching that game. Like, there were guys open that entire game.
They spread it out, yeah.
So it's Minnesota at Detroit.
Detroit's home, yep.
I'm going to say Detroit by 3.5.
You're on a roll. It's 3. I thought Minnesota would be favored by 1. That was a dumb pick, but I don't know. Yeah. I just thought that they were a different tier in that NFC North. But
maybe it's Tavares Jackson on the road.
That could be it.
Yeah.
He hasn't exactly proven himself. All right, Seattle at Arizona. This one I got.
I was impressed by that Arizona defense right until the end. I actually thought they were like flying around the ball and stuff. Did you watch that game?
I did watch. I was distracted most of the way because Mike Ditka kept saying "Esposta" instead of "Supposta." You're supposed to run the ball with 3rd and 1. You're supposed to play defense. I had to rewind it like 10 times, so I might have missed a lot of the game.
Was Ditka scheduled to be on that broadcast, or did he just wander into the booth and he never left and they didn't want to hurt his feelings?
They needed a 3rd mic.
Yeah, it's like, I don't get it. Like, I would have been perfectly happy with Mike and Mike, but
yeah.
They always have to overthink this stuff and think, well, what if we get a 3rd guy in there? It's like,
right.
Well, you have 2 good guys. Why do you need a 3rd guy?
Right.
At least we got to see him adjust himself on national TV.
Exactly.
That was fun.
That was nice.
So Arizona's home against...
Arizona's home. Seattle's visiting.
So anybody who thinks that I don't look at the lines ahead of time, like, I can't even remember who's playing who. I'm going to say Seattle by 3.
Yeah, both of us got it, and that's exactly what it is, Seattle by 3.
Logical game. And that's a game Arizona, I think, has to win if they're going to be taken seriously.
But I think it doesn't matter. You're right. Seattle's going to win this division by three games. Everyone else will be fighting around 7 and 8.
They were even odds. The over was 9 before the season.
Is that what it was? Wow.
Yeah, even odds, 10 games or more.
Well, it just seems like they're going to go 8-0 at home or 7-1 at home, and then even if they split the rest of their road games.
Right.
Oakland at Denver.
I don't know what to make of Cutler. Like, he was good on some plays. Other plays, he's throwing laterals to – grounding laterals to guys in the last 2 minutes. Like,
it was a tough one, yeah. I'd stay away from this one, too. I don't know.
I'm going to say Denver by 10.
We both get it. It's 9.5, and I said 9. So
there's 2 9.5 lines then, right?
2 9.5, right. Pittsburgh's home, giving 9.5 to Buffalo, and Denver's home, giving 9.5 to Oakland.
Okay. So we have the makings of the first three-team tees of the year here, potentially.
Oh, yeah. There's another couple coming up that you're going to...
Okay.
You're way ahead of me, by the way, now. It's 9 to 6.
I was rejuvenated this week.
All right. Jets at Baltimore.
McNair just looked awful. He looked awful. Oh, my God. Baltimore by 6.
Ooh, all right. I win this one. You're going to go crazy. Baltimore by 11. I said 9.5.
Really?
Yeah, well, is Pennington playing? He says he is, or they're not sure yet. That defense does clamp down. I will say that. You know, next you look up and they have the ball inside the 20. You're like, what happened? They just pinned back, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, but on the other hand, the Jets, well, I guess that's a line basically based on the fact that people assume the Jets are not a good team
and Baltimore
because of what
lost.
Happened in the Pats game.
Yeah.
But
it is a short week, though. You're right. It's
well, what do we know about the Jets? I mean, I don't feel like we know anything about them from the Pats game. The Pats might have just been much better.
We know their fans hate Chad Pennington.
Yeah, that's true. Although now there's a backlash and people are claiming that that they were cheering Kellen Clements. They weren't booing. Whatever.
Yeah, that's a lot different.
Yeah.
KC at Chicago.
Oh, my God.
All right, I'm going to make up some ground on you here because I picked this exactly.
You did?
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, my God. I'm going to say Bears by 16.
Oh, wow. Not that high. Bears by 12. And by the way, it was confirmed that Herm Edwards played one of those Eddie Murphy characters in Coming to America in the barbershop. I didn't think it was, but I looked it up.
Wow, just 12?
Yeah, just 12. That should get out of hand, right?
Does Casey get a field goal in that game?
There's your three-team teaser, I think, right?
That's one of those where the line seems too high, and then the Bears go up 7-0, and you feel stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll be up for that.
All right.
And then your game, Sunday night, San Diego at New England.
So many distractions with this whole cheating thing, and now America hates us.
Yeah.
Pats by 3.5.
Wow, that's what I said. Are you stealing my signals? Because I said the same thing.
No,
New England's given 3. New England's given 3, but we both get that.
So if New England's giving 3, that means Vegas feels that those teams are dead even.
You know, it was 4, and then it went down. I think, like, Sunday night it was 4, and then I think you're right. Maybe they did see this as a distraction. But I'm not sold on that Chargers game. We watched that game together.
Yeah.
The Bears are a good team. But
I'll throw another thing at you. They not only flying cross-country, but that was a really physical game against the Bears.
It had to be, right?
Yeah, compared to the Pats, basically, that was like an exhibition game for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really tough back-to-back. I'd be surprised if they could pull off back-to-back.
On the other hand, this is where North Turner shines. Oh, no, wait.
Oh, no, wait, it's the opposite.
They'll lose by 20. All right, Monday night, Washington at Philly.
Didn't like either of those. We actually watched way too much of both of those games.
Yeah.
Including the Washington-Miami game, which was on one of the 4 TVs, which was awful.
You're going to beat me by 1 either. I hit this one exact, but you're going to end up beating me for the week, so.
I'm going to say Philly by 7.
That's exactly right. Yep. It's another two-team teaser possibility, right? They kind of must win. I would say that's a must win after a loss at Green Bay.
I would say the best two-team teaser would be The Bengals with the Eagles.
Cincy, Philly. All right, yeah. I'll jump on that.
I think that's good.
Now that you said it, the line's going to move up to 15 for each.
No, I think if I'm involved in potentially fake wagering on a game, I think that moves the line the other way.
It goes the other way?
Yeah, I think my track record of non-success.
All right,
so what was the final score?
You won, let's see, you have, we tied a bunch, but I think you have 11 and I had 10, including the ties.
All right, one last question.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the Cowboys?
I hate the defense. It's like the worst I've seen in a long time, really. It got me mad that Phillips is pumping his fist after the game. Like, you had nothing to do with the offense there.
Yeah.
We need Terrence Newman back, a cornerback, and we need some things to happen because that just looked like a typical sellout performance there. I don't know.
There was one point in the game when the Giants did something. I think it was in the first half, and they showed Wade, and he had that look on his face. And
yeah.
It was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. He's terrible.
Don't even bother T-boning it. You'll see that look 25 more times. But that's our goal this week, to ask Carole if he could name 5 players on the Rams roster.
One more question.
Yeah.
So what's on the big screen early and what's on the big screen late? Did you figure this out?
I think we both like Indy, Tennessee early, right?
Yeah. That's a
Maybe
great game.
Maybe Buffalo, Pittsburgh. We're going to get some arguing there, I could tell. But
Indy, Tennessee's better.
And then, I don't know, the late, you know, there are 6 late games, which isn't normal. Dallas, Miami, Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, Arizona, Oakland, Denver, Jets, Baltimore, and KC, Chicago. Maybe Jets, Baltimore until it gets out of hand, or Seattle, Arizona?
Seattle, Arizona is the best game, although you could make a strong case for KC, Chicago, just because that is going to be like the Spinks-Tyson fight.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be good.
That could really be – that could be a 50-0 game. I'm going to call that the lock of the week for me.
All right.
I'll see you Sunday. Yes.
All
I'm
right.
Actually, I think I'm going to wear the Welker jersey. I was thinking about – I have an old Tony Simmons jersey, and I was going to put on Scotch tape, I was going to put Moss's name on it.
Nice.
It's the same
nice.
Number. All right.
Crazy.
Talk
right,
to you
man.
Next week.
Take care, man.
Switching gears from football to baseball, we're going to do Johnny, Are You Worried Yet? This is the segment where I call my buddy Jacko at work and see how worried he is about the Yankees this week. And the funny thing is, the Red Sox are going to win the division, and he's probably less worried than I am. But let's see what he's thinking.
Hello, John O'Connell.
Johnny.
Hey. What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Are you worried yet?
No. The Yanks are in firm control of the wild card.
Wait a second.
It's not guaranteed yet, but it's getting pretty close.
You've given up the division.
Well, no, I won't say that 100%. I think there's still a chance. Still a chance.
Now, I have to ask you, you revile A-Rod for most of his career.
That's true.
He is probably having one of the most decisive MVP seasons that I can remember in my lifetime.
True.
At what point do you just give in and just say, I love A-Rod, I don't want him to leave?
Oh, I've given in, believe me.
You've given in.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah. If I was Brian Cashman right now, I said this, I was at a cookout over the weekend, and many of my Red Sox friends were there, and I basically said if I was Brian Cashman, I'd go to A-Rod right now and say, how much do you want? Do you want 10% of the team and $35 million a year? Done. Sign right here. Do you want a 10-year, $350 million contract? Sign. Just right here. Here's a pen. Absolutely. I mean, the guy, he's the best player in baseball, hands down.
You don't think Wilson Bedemit can fill the void next year?
I think that would be a big step down. Precipitous. Yeah, exactly.
And are you feeling better about the Red Sox lack of prospects, considering that we now have one starting pitcher who's going to be reliable in October?
I am. I feel good about this Red Sox rotation now, since the national treasure, as Theo labeled him, is not really much of a treasure anymore. I'm talking about Daisuke, of course, who Theo told the citizens of Japan was a national treasure.
But you're missing the point. If we had an overpaid for Daisuke, maybe we don't get J.D. Drew.
It's a good point. If the Yankees make the playoffs, really the MVP for them is Scott Boras, because he got the Red Sox to go in on $170 million on Daisuke and J.D. Drew.
And he also got A-Rod in the right frame of mind for a contract year, it seems like.
Exactly. That's true. That's a good point, right? He told them about that opt-out clause, and he went on a home run tear. That's right.
If they have a Hall of Fame for contract years, I think A-Rod has got to be, like, first ballot.
His own wing, I think.
He's made probably, like, $100 million this year.
At least.
Think?
Oh, he's having the best season by a right-handed hitter ever, probably. Certainly by a right-handed Yankee, even better than DiMaggio.
Where do you think he should go?
Oh, he's going to stay put, Bill. He loves New York.
No, but in all seriousness, if you were A-Rod, wouldn't you go to Colorado or San Diego, one of these National League teams where you have inferior pitching, and you're on the West Coast, and you're in an easy park, and you just crank out your 55 homers every year, nobody bothers you?
I would go to either San Francisco or Anaheim, because I think that you're on the West Coast. No, even I mean, Anaheim's an American League team, I understand, but you're in Southern California, people are laid back, you could put up big numbers, nobody really cares. San Francisco, they already, I was out there, they love Barry Bonds. Believe me, they'll love him even more. It's a great ballpark.
True.
He'll hit 80, you know?
Right. The sad thing is I can't make fun of the Giants fans anymore for defending Bonds because my team just pulled the Nixon presidency move on the Jets last week.
I know. Plus they defended Rodney Harrison and his HGH thing, you know? He was just doing it to stay competitive, help his team, you know?
It's all gone to hell, Johnny.
How do you feel about the three Super Bowls being tainted? Are you okay? Are you all right? All kinds of question marks now.
I actually cover this in today's piece, but if you look at those games, the opposite happened. They were terrible in the second half of each of those games. So I really don't think they were signal stealing.
No,
I just feel like it's such like a weird thing to do. Like it just seems like you would get caught, right?
The dumbest thing in the world is why would you do it against Mangini, who used to work for the Patriots, who probably knew that definitely knew they did it in the past.
Right. And then as soon as they got blown out, Mangini, to deflect all attention from the beating.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, hey, the cameraman over there.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
It's just like, you know, if in baseball, if they showed the dugout and there was just some guy with a camera, you'd be like, what's that guy doing? Why does he have a camera?
Yeah, exactly.
And in football, the sideline, I know there's more people on the sideline, but there's not that many people on the sideline. Somebody has a camera and it's pointed at the other team's bench. It's kind of obvious what's happening.
If Belichick is really a genius, they should have had the guy, like, dressed in a Patriots uniform with a hidden camera. Couldn't you use, like, don't they have all kinds of small cameras now, like they use on Dateline NBC or something? Couldn't you use one of those?
Yeah, like the to catch a predator camera.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you'd think they could have put one on Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah, he could have just focused on the Jets sideline the whole game.
He just would have had to have his chest pointed toward the coaches or something.
That's weird.
But it's just such a weird thing to get caught on. That's what I don't get. It's like you have a camera pointed at the other team's bench. It's not like nobody's going to notice that. That's the thing that I can't get past. I'm in so much pain.
Not to mention the fact that they didn't need to do it. I mean, they're so much better than the Jets and everybody else in the NFL for that matter. There's just no need to do it.
I was thinking, like, the only way this would be worse is if the Big Poppy HGH purchase announcement came out, like, tomorrow, followed by Kevin Garnett blowing out an Achilles tendon or something in practice. I would just go to Canada. That would be
it. I was thinking about that. You know, whenever things get to be too good for one city or one sports franchise, things always go it's like the behind the music. And that's when things went horribly, horribly wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
the
Boston's riding high. They get Garnett. The Sox are in first place. It was going too well, you know?
I had an orgasm on page 2 in my column on Monday. Like, I just kind of lost it.
While wearing a Randy Moss jersey, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like it's like the Hugh Grant thing, where things are going so well, you just feel like you got to take the risk by going to Sunset Boulevard and picking up a Divine Brown.
When the Yanks sweep them this week and this weekend and move into first place by like next Tuesday, I shudder to think what the city's going to be like. It's going to be problematic, you know. I hate to think what the sports radio is going to be like. I'm really worried about it.
And then you think like on Monday how giddy everybody was.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just. I'm not going to complain because we've had it really good, but it's just too bad. That was like one of the few Patriot games where it would have been nice to bask in it for at least like, I don't know, 12 hours, 24 hours.
Right.
Almost immediately, they come out with the can.
They'll
really
turn it to their advantage. They'll play the whole, see, it's us against them. They needed that. They were, too complacent, just rolling over everybody. Now they'll have motivation to go 16-0, even with the asterisk. It'll still be, you know, they'll work it to their advantage. Don't worry.
Johnny, when Jabba Chamberlain pitched in Kansas City and his dad was crying in the wheelchair, did you cry too?
About it got a little misty in my living room. I'm not going to lie.
It did.
Yeah,
it was an emotional moment.
It was, until they showed Jabba's father for the 800th time. And even I, who loves Jabba and loves the Yankees, said to my fiance, hey, did you know Jabba's father's at the game? I mean, it was way too much with Jabba's father, you know?
Well, the good thing was that, you know, in terms of emotion, you were in the right hands with the one and only Michael Kay.
Yeah.
He's really the poet laureate of our time.
And Ken Singleton's thoughts were always good to know. I'll always remember what Ken Singleton said, where I was at that moment. I mean, it is a good story with Jabba and his father,
yeah, it was.
And the scooter, but I don't know if we needed the 850th reaction shot to, like, Ross Glode fouling one off, did we? I don't know. But
I thought they should have actually gone further and spliced the shots of Jabba's father interspersed with shots of John Turturro reacting to Reggie Jackson.
Bring a full circle, the Bronx is burning. The problematic thing is when Jabba gave up a long fly ball, I thought it was gone. It was going to be his first run. I was really worried about his father. Like, what would happen if they show his father and he gives up the first run in the major leagues, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Blows the game for the Yanks. That was my concern.
This Jabba thing is unbelievable. I had my AL fantasy draft. We have, like, a minor league draft, you know. It's, like, totally over the top. We actually thought about taking Jabba. He wasn't even one of the top 100 prospects on one of the lists that people use. I mean, it was like, yeah, he's raw. He's got potential. He's only been pitching for a couple years. And, like, the fact that this guy is now, like, a chess piece in this October Yankee Sox thing is amazing, I think.
He's a key chess piece. I mean, it honestly is like a Disney movie. The guy was in single A this year, you know, worked his way up, and he throws 101 miles an hour. I don't understand how when you throw 101, you're like an uncouted prospect, you know?
Do you think he could be the most popular Yankee pitcher ever, potentially?
I think he already is.
Well, I was thinking Ron Guidry.
And Mariano. People love Mariano.
Yeah, but Ron Guidry in the late 70s, Gator really pushed people to another level.
It started the whole two-strike standing ovation thing and applauding.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. Jabba's there, though. I mean, the place goes nuts when he starts warming up, so.
It's funny that the Red Sox and the Yanks have both spent like a kajillion dollars in their teams, but in each case, we had young guys come up that totally like revitalized the fans and got them excited.
I know, it's actually good. They didn't just go out and buy some free agent in both cases. You have Ellsbury and Papelbon and, you know, Pedroia is going to be rookie of the year, and the Yanks with Jabba and Phil Hughes and Ian Kennedy. It's excellent.
Oh, don't forget about Clay Buchholz.
Oh, I almost did. That's right. No hitter in a second. I forgot all about Clay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it took like 30 years, but they finally realized that they should be pouring money into the farm system and not like overpaying Mel Hall and Jack Clark.
That's right. You know why I forgot about Clay? Because I had my notes about him on a laptop, and then he stole it.
That's terrible. That's it. All right, so what are you this week? I'm wrapping this up. What are you this week out of 1 to 10?
Like a negative 5. Big concern now is I want Cleveland to catch Anaheim for the second best record so the Yankees could play them in the playoffs.
Well, did you see this whole thing about the American League, one of the series is going
to
be 5 games, 8 days?
Yeah.
So you play Cleveland, you potentially go against Sabathia and Carmona twice.
I know. That is a problem. But, I mean, the Yankees can't beat the Angels, so that's a problem, too. So,
because, God forbid, they don't stretch out the playoffs so Fox can make as much money as possible and we could have Joe Buck at every playoff game.
Yeah.
Really.
It's ridiculous. I know.
Because they need that extra ad money so they can work on an updated Scooter the Talking Baseball cartoon or whatever they do. Ugh.
I just can't wait to hear "This Is Our Country" 4,000 times.
I know. That'll be good. Maybe he could put on like a baseball jersey for the playoffs when he does it. That'd be good. All right, Johnny. We'll talk to you next week. I wish you the worst of luck this weekend with the Red Sox-Yankees series.
And I you, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.